Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. Alzheimer's, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. And as the baby boomer generation, despite its greatest efforts, continues to age, the population affected by Alzheimer's is predicted to triple. Researchers battle on in the quest to cure Alzheimer's, but in the meantime, diet can help, according to our guest today. Joining us is researcher and author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory, Dr. Neil Barnard. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be with you.
How are we learning so much more about how foods affect the brain?
You know, there's been a huge just change in research in general. You know, a century ago, what were the things we were most concerned about? It was infection. There were viruses and bacteria that could lead to things like tuberculosis. And so we were really focused on those things. Well, happily, we've pretty much conquered them. The conditions that we are now affected by are things like diabetes and obesity and heart disease and cancer that we now know are strongly affected by what we eat. And the big new addition to that list is Alzheimer's disease. We had thought it's mostly genetics, it's mostly age. Well, think again. We now know that diet and lifestyle are probably the most important and controllable factors for Alzheimer's, just like they are for heart disease.
Is Alzheimer's the only disease that affects the brain?
Oh, great question. It starts out with, there's a condition called mild cognitive impairment. Very common. What you might think of as sort of older age forgetfulness. So you're having trouble, particularly with names, with words. It's just slow coming to you. And if this happens once a month, that's normal. But if it happens every day, that's mild cognitive impairment. And this, for some people, is stable, doesn't lead to anything worse. But for quite a number of people, it does lead to Alzheimer's disease. But there are other things. Stroke is one of the most concerning, where a portion of the brain has died. But here again, we have a lot of things that we can do to prevent that. If we're keeping a healthy heart with a good diet and exercise and avoiding tobacco, those very same risk factors apply to the brain, too, and the very same protections apply to the brain.
Talk about lifestyle a little bit more. We're going to get to the power foods, but what about lifestyle outside of what we eat affects the brain?
Well, let's talk about lacing up your sneakers.
Okay.
You know, we've always known that that's really, really good for the heart. And if you think about it, you're doing a good brisk walk, and your heart is beating faster and faster and faster. The blood is circulating more and more. You're breathing more rapidly. We know that gradually strengthens the heart. Well, researchers at the University of Illinois brought in a large group of folks. They were up in years, and they said, okay, let's see what will happen to the brain. And they showed a couple of things. They showed, first of all, that with a brisk walk 3 times a week, you could improve memory in these individuals. But then they did brain scans and showed that the parts of the brain that are involved in memory, I'm speaking specifically of the hippocampus, which is at the core of the brain, and associated structures. Over time, for most people, these structures shrink. They're degenerating. But when people would exercise, they would actually start to expand. And the key here is you don't have to have a two-hour, sweat fest every day. The amount that worked was a 40-minute brisk walk 3 times a week. So you can't trudge, but if you get your heart beating a little bit faster, 40 minutes 3 times a week, that's the amount shown to be effective in research studies.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. He is a researcher and author of many best-selling books, including Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Barnard, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Do you feel like you're constantly learning new things about the brain because of or about how foods affect the brain? Is this an ongoing thing or a static point that we're at?
Oh, my goodness sakes. We are really just stepping into it now. When I was in medical school, we knew virtually nothing about how diet and lifestyle and exercise could affect the brain, and we were totally resigned to Alzheimer's being a one-way street, and that there was nothing we could do. We couldn't prevent it. It was a freight train that you couldn't stop. But, you know, we felt that about diabetes, too. And our research team here at the Physicians Committee showed that if people change their diet enough, diabetes gets better. In some cases, it goes away. Now, everybody's different, but we started to see that we had more power than we had thought of. That's true with the brain as well, but research has gotten a lot better. We see very large epidemiology studies where people bring in thousands of folks. They really tease apart their diets in elaborate detail. Then they do clinical trials where you bring in groups of people and alter their diets, alter their exercise patterns. You can test the effects of specific kinds of foods, vitamin E-rich foods, or foods rich in antioxidants. You can really put it to the test. So now is the time when we know more than we ever had. But I got to tell you, Anne, I feel like we are still scratching the surface. We need to focus on human biology. We need to, in my personal view, stop trying to find the latest Alzheimer's pill. I think we need to really focus on what it is really in our diet and lifestyle that caused this disease to occur, modify those things, and see how well we can do with these more natural means, because they end up being more effective than medications, and the side effects are all good of a lifestyle change.
It does seem like in the 4 years since you and I first started talking about this, the conversations that I have with other people and other physicians are becoming much more oriented around lifestyle. It's becoming much more accepted. Do you feel more accepted, Dr. Barnard, these days than you did even 4 years ago?
Yes. I have to tell you a little secret. Back 23 years ago, back in 1991, at the Physicians Committee, I got together with several other experts, and we said that a healthy diet ought to consist of four main staples. These should be the center of your diet: vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and beans. And at that time, we said, you don't have to have meat if you don't want it. It's totally optional, and frankly, you're better off without it, and same with dairy products. When we suggested that, it was just heresy at the time. But, of course, what has happened? Since that time, people have shown that a plant-based kind of diet is linked to longer life, slimmer waistlines, it reverses heart disease, it's the best possible diet for diabetes. So people have come along. And part of the reason for that is cost. You know, how much does it cost to do a coronary bypass? Mm-hmm. Somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 for one person. How much does it cost to eat beans? You know, $1.89 a pound. So there has been a tremendous interest in containing healthcare costs, giving people tools. Also, we work with a lot of folks who have diabetes. They love the fact that instead of being a passive recipient of another prescription, they can be very active in not just exercising and things, but figuring out what they're going to eat, what they'll feed their families, and the change in these people. It's so gratifying to see. People do lose weight. They come off their medicines. They feel terrific.
How did we get, in your opinion, so disconnected from the relationship between what we eat and how we feel?
Well, you know, I don't think it was really nefarious reasons. But, you know, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, when infections were the big issue, and as the 20th century progressed and we got antibiotics that could knock them out, this rather simple reductionistic viewpoint really won the day. Let me tell you, penicillin is terrific. And the same is true with certain painkillers. Ibuprofen is great. These things are terrific. We then thought, well, maybe that's true for things like diabetes or blood pressure or Alzheimer's disease. And then our progress ground to a halt. We are just not seeing medications being so effective for these conditions that are really now the biggest burden that we have in medicine. And that's where we have to look at nutrition. But we weren't really prepared to study it. Our scientific machinery is really geared toward testing a pill versus a placebo. But research teams like mine do test diets. We put them to the test, and I think that is really the way of the future, and we have medical students and doctors studying with us all the time. They're very excited to be able to use these methods because they're frankly a little bit weary of pushing pills.
One of the ironies is that you have this huge population to work with in your research now, the baby boomer generation, which is also the generation that is looking for that magic pill of immortality or at least the eternal youth.
They are, but you know, many of them are tired of it. The average person who comes into my office with diabetes, if that's what they're coming in for, I always say, bring in your medications. And you know what? They never bring in a bottle. They bring in a sack. And they are on two or three things for diabetes, two or three or four for their blood pressure. They're on a statin for cholesterol. They're on something for acid. They're on so many medications that when I add it up, it averages about $5,000 a month per person. And so many people are tired of the expense and the side effects. And they put up with it because they did not believe there was a better way. We're doing a trial now for people with diabetic neuropathy. These are people who have pain because the diabetes is attacking their nerves. And I want to tell you, Ann, there is nothing more gratifying than seeing people come in feeling miserable, learning how a diet change can be put to work in their own life. They bring their reluctant spouse with them to the weekly meetings that we have as a group, and their lives just transform. And they learn how to use foods. They learn how to regain their health. They find themselves coming down on their medications, and they are living again. And for me as a doctor, that's the kind of medicine I want to practice. Now, we don't have stars in our eyes. There are times when medicines are absolutely essential, and you don't throw them in the trash. But we start with food. That's conventional medicine, and I think of medicines as alternative medicine when a food change wasn't enough.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. More of this conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard still to come. But first, news director Mike Thompson and All Sides producer Michael DeBonis are here for an update on our spring membership drive.
Thank you very much, Ann. This is the 89.7 NPR News Spring Fun Drive, and we're asking you to take 3 minutes out of your day to make that call, to go online and show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher and all of the great programs that you enjoy and that you rely on every day on 89.7 NPR News. We are your all-day NPR news station here on 89.7. We have news from morning, noon, and night. We keep you informed. We keep you entertained. So now is the time to show your support for that by calling 1-866-897-9678. Or by going online at WOSU.org. And alongside me is Ann's super producer, senior producer, Michael DeBonis.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Mike. And I just want listeners to ask themselves a question. What is All Sides worth to you? What is Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Marketplace worth to you? You know, hopefully, if you're listening right now, it means it's worth a lot. And we want you to sort of step up to the plate, pitch in, and make sure that all these programs you love keep on broadcasting to you over the airwaves and on streaming online. So pick up the phone and give us a call, 1-866-897-9678. You can give online at WOSU.org and give a gift of a dollar a week or a dollar a day or anything in between, whatever works for you. We just ask that you pick up the phone, 1-866-897-9678, and give what you can.
And if you support All Sides with Ann Fisher right now, you can get a great thank you gift that we are offering for this hour only. Make a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, and we will send you Dr. Neil Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. Do multivitamins increase Alzheimer's disease risk? Can sweet potatoes improve mental clarity? Power Foods for the Brain, a book by nutrition researcher and New York Times bestselling author Dr. Neil Barnard, reveals how a simple diet, changes in your diet, can shield the brain from memory loss, stroke, and Alzheimer's. This book is our thank you gift to you this hour. You can get the book, Power Foods for the Brain, with a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, the two-hour daily call-in talk show. This show is unique to 89.7 NPR News. You're not going to find a show like this anywhere else on the radio dial, and that's why you listen, and that's why I'm so proud to be a part of it. Civil conversations about state politics, issues in City Hall, events happening around Ohio. Where else can you listen to a guest like the mayor, Mike Coleman, or John Husted, state officials, and you get to call in and tell them what you think and ask them questions directly? It's only here on All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and if you value that, please pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org.
We would like to thank Mary Dickinson of Columbus, also Charlene Worsfold of Columbus. Thank you very much for your contribution. We also like to thank Bob Digby of Columbus. Actually, we probably should thank Bob's wife, Chuga, because she's the one who reminded him to give. So thank you, Chuga and Bob Digby of Columbus. If you want to get your spouse to give, if it's your time to renew, give them a nudge, give them an elbow, you know, get them, text them, say it's time to send that check or make that pledge. Do it right now at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
Will U.S.-Russian relations improve? Will the Affordable Care Act change your health care? What will be the big issues in this year's campaign for governor? You listen to 89.7 NPR News to know about what's happening in your world, your state, your community, and day after day, you turn to public radio for that knowledge. Experienced public radio journalists from 89.7 and NPR file reports that help you understand this increasingly complex world. And during this membership drive, we ask you to do your part to pay for the station you depend on. Go online and make a gift right now at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Thanks.
And don't forget, our thank you gift for you this hour is the Power Foods for the Brain book by Dr. Neil Barnard. He's Ann's guest today. You're learning a lot of great information from Dr. Barnard this hour. You can get that and more in this book. He's giving a lot of information. This book has it all right at your fingertips. $10 a month as a sustainer, $120 one-time gift, and we will send you a copy of Power Foods for the Brain. The number again is 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. And thank you.
Support comes from Ohio State's College of Medicine, looking back with pride and looking ahead with purpose. This year, the College of Medicine celebrates its 100th anniversary of training doctors who provide health care in the community and beyond. A showcase of historical perspectives is online at medicine.osu.edu/100years.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. He's a physician, author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's a best-selling author, and we're focusing on his book, Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory today. If you have a question or comment for him, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You were part of a group that recently published a meta-analysis, which means you looked at other studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine about the benefit of vegetarianism on the incidence of lower blood pressure.
That's right. This is really important because high blood pressure is very, very common, and it leads to heart disease, it leads to strokes, it leads to a number of problems, and it shortens life. And we have seen a number of studies over time suggesting that when people are avoiding animal products, they have lower blood pressure. And that's true whether they've grown up that way or whether we take a person in midlife and we start the diet. But what had not been done until now is nobody had taken every study that had ever looked at this and added it up and tried to make sense of the whole body of data. And so that's what we published in the JAMA Internal Medicine. And there were 32 observational studies. These are people who just adopted the diet on their own. There were 7 clinical trials where you bring a person in and provide the diet for them. And what we showed, if you average everybody together in these observational studies, it'll cut your systolic, a vegetarian diet, plant-based diet, cuts your systolic blood pressure by about 7 points. That's the top number. So if your blood pressure is 120 over 80, that 120 is systolic, and we're cutting that by 7 points. The bottom number, the diastolic number, was cut by 5 points. However, if people were heavier, then they got a much bigger benefit. If they were starting out with a high blood pressure, they would get a bigger benefit. If you're thin and already have a very low blood pressure, going on this kind of diet probably won't change your blood pressure very much. But for people who are high on the blood pressure scale, people who have extra pounds too, we would see quite a pronounced effect.
William in Columbus, you're on the air with Dr. Neil Barnard. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. You asked a question of Dr. Barnard a moment ago about other conditions that affect the brain, and I would appreciate just some comment from Dr. Barnard about the impact of diabetes on memory, vision, and other sensation, because he's clearly expert in all those arenas, but you were focused on Alzheimer's at that time. So if you could comment on the memory issues and visual issues of the brain with diabetes and the nutritional impact.
All right.
Sure.
Thank you, William.
Well, William, thank you for asking that, because, you know, so many listeners are either they're teetering on the edge of diabetes or they've already got it. And, you know, the numbers now are 100 million Americans are in one or the other of those categories, pre-diabetes or diabetes itself. To answer your question, diabetes affects vision in a couple of ways. If your blood sugar is going up, then just sort of over the short run, that can affect the acuity of your vision. And you can just imagine if sugar is getting into the lens of the eye, and that might carry some fluid along with it. You'll find that your vision is not so good. And when your blood sugar comes down, then that tends to get better. But then over the long run, the high blood sugar levels are attacking the tiny little blood vessels in the retina, which is the back of the eye. And if they get attacked, then vision can be compromised. And so diabetes is a leading cause of blindness, and it's in the same ways that it attacks the tiny blood vessels in the kidneys and in the feet, and that's what leads to this condition we call neuropathy. It also seems to affect the brain. People with diabetes have about double the risk of Alzheimer's disease compared to other people, and it affects the nerves in other ways, the nerves not just in the brain, but the nerves that control the internal organs, that control the rhythm of the heart, that allow you to feel things. So did I step on a tack? If those nerves are gone, that you have no way of knowing that. So it affects the whole body in all these ways. Now, as gloomy and doomy as that sounds, I really want to emphasize what we have learned in recent years, which is that diabetes can be a two-way street. And our research study that NIH funded us to do back in 2003, we used a plant-based diet. So we got rid of the animal products. We kept oils very, very low, but we did not limit carbohydrates or calories or portions. And we found that people could come into dramatically better control. And so what I'm suggesting is that one does not have to have vision be harmed by this. One does not have to have Alzheimer's as a result. You don't have to have these complications. So these complications are waiting for us if we do nothing, but if we make some pretty big diet and lifestyle changes, you have a tremendous amount of control, and it's well worth it to do. So thank you for your question, William.
Thanks, William, for that call. If anyone else out there, 614-292-8513, if you'd like to give us a call, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. I think it's interesting the way we think of diet nowadays. When someone says, "What's your diet?" we think of something as being taken away from us. We're not getting as much. But you're saying that counting calories isn't what the issue's about. Carbohydrates aren't necessarily what the issue's about. It's these things that we ordinarily associate with a quote unquote diet.
Yeah, you know, that's right. In fact, in the research studies that we do, we are not asking people to limit calories at all. But what we are doing is we're making a qualitative shift toward foods that are the word that people often use is nutrient dense. So vegetables and fruits, they're very high in vitamins. And when we measure the intakes that people have, their nutrition improves dramatically. You're getting much more of the vitamins and other compounds that are in vegetables and fruits and in beans and whole grains that are good for us. And So the payoff is not just a trimmer waistline, as good as that may be. We're also going to probably have a certain amount of protection against cancer and other problems.
We were talking earlier about, about the iron and spinach, and it's a good way to get iron. But actually, certain kinds of iron may actually impede mental functioning. I was wondering, in aluminum, could you talk about the impact of metals on our brain and why that's an issue these days?
Yes. When we look at the brain of a person who died with Alzheimer's disease, you tease apart the brain tissue and you find these little microscopic collections. They look almost like tiny meatballs in the brain. They're called beta amyloid plaques. And when you open them up and look at what's inside, they often have metals in them, copper, iron, aluminum, tend to be concentrated in these plaques. And that's really important because iron is a double-edged sword. You need a little bit of iron. You need it for healthy blood cells. Iron helps your blood cells to carry oxygen. If you don't have it, you're in trouble. But iron rusts. A cast iron pan will oxidize, and iron rusts in your body, too. And as it oxidizes in your brain, it releases free radicals that destroy brain tissue. So you need a little bit of iron, but you don't want to have too much. Same with copper. In the same way as a copper penny will corrode, that's oxidation, too. That happens in the brain. And in fact, I want to give you a quick preview. There is an article coming out next week from a group of Italian researchers showing that elevated levels of what's called free copper, it's a copper that's not bound to protein in your body, can be a problem and can be one of the key predictors in who develops Alzheimer's and who doesn't. So stay tuned on that. What foods bring these to us? Shellfish, liver,
okay.
These are things you probably want to stay away from anyway.
Right. So, but spinach is a good way to get iron. Is that a safe way to get iron?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I skipped the most important thing. The type of iron that is in spinach and, in fact, in all plants is a special form called non-heme iron. It's the kind that if you're low, your body will absorb more of it. If you're already high in iron, your body will absorb less. So it's the kind your body can regulate. But the kind of iron, meat has a form of iron called heme iron. And even if you've already got a lot of iron on board already, it just sort of barges into your bloodstream. So that's where people tend to get too much. So it's, for me, growing up in Fargo, North Dakota, the roast beef and steaks and pork chops that we thought were good because they had iron and protein, mm-hmm. turns out they have too much iron and they have a form that our body doesn't effectively regulate.
What about aluminum?
Very controversial. There are many researchers, including me, who are concerned about aluminum because, number one, we have known for a long time that aluminum is a neurotoxin. In factory accidents, when people are exposed to aluminum compounds, brain damage is a common result. In addition, in communities in Britain, also in France, that were tested as having high aluminum content of their water, drinking water, Alzheimer's was much more common than in others. And finally, we see aluminum in the brains of people who died of Alzheimer's. Now, having said that, to be fair, there are some very good neurologists who think this is not important and you can skip it and don't worry about aluminum, that it's just an innocent bystander. Where I come down is, and what I think is most sensible, is to say, A, you don't need aluminum at all. Your body has no use for aluminum in the diet. B, it's easy to avoid. So throw out that aluminum pan. You don't need it unless it's coated. There's aluminum cookware that's just aluminum on the bottom. And the surface that the food touches is stainless steel or ceramic. That's okay. If you're buying antacids, some of them have aluminum in them. Some of them don't. My advice is to avoid these sources of aluminum. There's no harm in avoiding it. And if it turns out that aluminum is as dangerous as some of us think it is, then you'll be ahead of the game.
This is All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard is still to come. But first, here's All Sides producer Michael DeBonis and news director Mike Thompson to talk about supporting 89.7 NPR News right now.
Thank you, Ann. The way to do that is to call 1-866-897-9678, or you can go online at WOSU.org. I am Mike Thompson, and this is our spring membership drive. We come to you twice a year. We have two fun drives a year, And we ask you to support All Sides with Ann Fisher and all the great programs we offer on 89.7 NPR News. If this program makes a difference in your life, which we hope it does every day between 10 and noon, give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or online at WOSU.org. And the man who helps make this show possible is producer Michael DeBonis, and he joins us in studio.
That's right, Mike. And we're here today to raise the money that 89.7 NPR News needs to pay for the programs that keep you in the know and entertained. That's how public radio works. The people who use it help to pay for it. And only you can do that by calling 1-866-897-9678. Do it right now to ensure that we can continue to provide you with this service that you value. 1-866-897-9678.
Or you can give online at WOSU.org. Supporting All Sides is really easy no matter how you do it, whether it's by phone or online or using the WOSU Public Media mobile app. And when you pledge $10 a month as a sustainer or make a one-time gift of $120, we have a terrific thank you gift that we're offering this hour. It is Dr. Neil Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. As you're hearing, Dr. Barnard is a researcher, a doctor, and a best-selling author. He has gathered information from a lot of research to deliver an effective three-step program for boosting brain health. This book will help you put power foods to work, strengthen your brain, and defeat memory threats. This book is also an extension of the conversation that you're listening to on All Sides with Ann Fisher today. There's a lot of information in the show. You can't write it all down. You don't want to take notes. This book is your notebook. It's your reference book. It's your guide to having a healthy brain and a lasting memory. So just a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 right now, we will send you Power Foods for the Brain by Dr. Neil Barnard, and you can show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher and the great programs you enjoy every day. The way to do that, go online, WOSU.org, or call 1-866-897-9678.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, you hear from new authors, historians, as well as the latest news stories, and also talks about local food and local arts. Every Tuesday, you hear Tech Tuesday on All Sides, where Ann talks about the latest technology. And on Wednesday, you hear Wellness Wednesday for discussions in the latest medicine tips for diet and exercise. We hear from listeners all the time that these programs mean a lot to them. And if you're one of those people, we hope that you'll take the time right now to pledge your support. Call 1-866-897-9678. Call right now and help pay for All Sides in the months to come. Visit our website at WOSU.org. Make a donation using the WOSU Media mobile app or call 1-866-897-9678.
We would like to thank Carolyn Christie and Kristen Trost. She's from Columbus. Thank you, Carolyn and Kristen, for your support of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. Giving is simple, whether you call 1-866-897-9678 or whether you give online at WOSU.org. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes. We just need your name, your contact information, your gift amount, and how you'd like to pay. Using a credit card is the easiest and simplest way to go. WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And don't forget, when you support All Sides right now at $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you will get Dr. Neil Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. It includes a three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. This book is terrific. Power Foods for the Brain by Dr. Barnard is yours for a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 right now. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. And thanks.
Support comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Jerry Mock's historic flight in her single-engine plane, the Spirit of Columbus. Jerry's adventure becoming the first woman to fly solo around the world is detailed online at columbusfoundation.org. Long live the Spirit of Columbus.
Wow.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour is Dr. Neil Barnard. We've been talking about what you can eat and how you can live to keep your mind sharp and your memory strong. Dr. Barnard is author of Power Foods for the Brain, an effective three-step plan to protect your mind and strengthen your memory. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Eric in Columbus, you're on the air with Dr. Barnard. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call and ask what Dr. Barnard thought about a ketogenic diet. And I guess I'll take it off the air.
Okay. Dr. Barnard, can you tell us what a ketogenic was it?
Yes. A ketogenic diet is a very controversial way to go because it's risky. This is sort of like the initial stages of the old-fashioned Atkins diet, where people would take all of the healthy carbohydrates out of the diet, and they would be left with basically protein and fat, and that causes the body to make compounds called ketones. Because that tends to make you not feel like eating, people tend to it causes some weight loss, and so the Atkins diet was briefly popular for that reason. But over the long run, it's a tough way to go. The one exception with that is there is now some experimental use of this diet for kids who have intractable seizures, and somehow the ketones seem to quell the seizures. So that's still under consideration. But for adults who are using this as a way to lose weight, it's a much, much better way. A much better way to go is to avoid the bad fats, focus on the healthy vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, and there all the side effects are good, and you don't have the dangers that we have with a ketogenic diet.
Again, you're talking more about a lifestyle, not a diet.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. What we want to get on is something that doesn't just help us to trim down 7 pounds between now and swimsuit season. What we want to do is to get on a way of eating that helps us to really feel good and feel healthy for life, and hopefully one that our spouses and our parents and especially our kids can follow along with us. And that's why we're emphasizing not this idea of really cutting way down on food, but rather focusing on healthy foods. And over the long run, it tends to be more powerful.
How simple is it to grocery shop these days if you want to work on the sort of diet that you recommend?
What I do is when people come in and we talk them into all the benefits of this way of eating, what I do is I take a piece of paper, and people at home can do this as well. You take an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and you give yourself 4 categories. At the top, breakfast, and then lunch below it, dinner below it, and the bottom, snack. And I ask people to think of foods that they could include in their routine that are based on vegetables and fruits and whole grains that fit into those categories. And they're staring at a blank sheet of paper, and then they think, okay, all right, I guess I could have a bowl of oatmeal, but I haven't made it since I was a kid. I'll go to the store and I'll get it. Or I could have blueberry pancakes, and pretty soon they're starting to come up with the things that they will fill in. Then you go to the store, you buy these things, bring them home, and just try them. The idea is not to revamp your diet the first week or two, but just to get familiar with the foods, see which ones you like, and if you don't like it, you throw it out. After you've done that for a week or so, you've got a list of breakfasts, lunches, dinners, snacks that you like, and then you can decide about taking a little bit more long-term. So the next step I have is try it for a 3-week period, and the ideal diet is totally plant-based, 21 days, and at the end of that time, you can say, all right, here's how many pounds I've lost, here's how much better I feel. Then you think about whether you want to do it or not for the longer term. That's easier, in my view, than just jumping in on the deep end on day one.
If you have a question or comment, once again, 614-292-8513. You are going to be, after this interview, holding a briefing on Capitol Hill, I believe, about 2 bills regarding nutrition. What are those bills about?
That's right. A big complaint that we hear is that doctors don't know anything about nutrition. The patient wants to make a diet change. The doctor doesn't know how to counsel them. So there are 2 pieces of legislation. One is called the Eat for Health Act. That's Education and Training for Health. And that was just introduced. And what that will do is that for physicians who are federally employed, it says that part of their education that they're getting every year, their continuing medical education, it's got to be related to nutrition, at least 6 hours a year. I think that's a really good thing, and we're supporting that. And then the second one, which is about to be introduced, is called the Enrich Act, and that does the same thing but for medical students. So it's fine for them to learn about prescription drugs. It's good for them to learn about surgery, but they ought to also learn about asparagus and learn about how foods can affect health. So these two acts are, if we are successful, a decade from now, people will say, my doctor knows so much about nutrition, and my doctor's really helping me with that, as opposed to the opposite, which is what we're seeing now.
Right. You talked about the culture that emerged back in the 19th century, and when they were so focused on things that could cure infections and that sort of thing, and that started that culture of finding a pill to fix it.
That's really right, and unfortunately, there are people making so much money off pharmaceuticals as well. They are lobbying heavily, and you can't turn on the TV without seeing half of the commercials are for food and the other half are for drugs, and we really need to change that.
Is anybody against these bills?
I will let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
they are just going in right now, and I am hoping that they will be widely supported. I'm happy to say that the Association of American Medical Colleges, which really is sort of has the drumbeat of American medical schools, is favoring this very approach. They're saying, you know, this is right. Medical students do need to know about how nutrition affects them. So we're encouraged.
Okay. We were talking earlier about metals, iron, aluminum that may impede mental functioning. They're not sure about aluminum. You said that's controversial. We don't need as much iron as a lot of us think we do. But what other environmental factors are threats to the brain? Where do these threats lurk?
You know what? I hate to say this, but it is true. If a person has a sudden change in their mental status of any kind, but particularly of the type that we would call dementia, where you're having trouble remembering, having trouble reasoning and problem solving, the number one risk factor is in your house. Throw open the bathroom door, walk in there, and look in the medicine cabinet. There was a case of a physician in Florida. He was a physician on staff at NASA named Dwayne Gravelin, who had a huge, huge memory deficit that came out of the blue, and he was on atorvastatin, which is the most popular cholesterol-lowering drug marketed as Lipitor. He stopped the Lipitor. His memory came back. He started it again at half the dose. His memory was wiped out again. This was thought to be really a fluke, but the FDA recently did issue warnings about, and it's not just Lipitor, it's other statins too, mm-hmm. that although overall they do have the benefit of reducing cholesterol and probably will reduce Alzheimer's risk because the low cholesterol is good there too, in rare cases, they cause quite a disruption of memory. But it's not just statins. It can be antidepressants. It can be antihistamines, sleeping medicines. So if ever a person has an acute change in memory, look in the medicine cabinet. If there is some drug that is new or two drugs added together or a dosage change, that should be at the top of your suspect list.
Shouldn't your doctor be warning you about stuff like this?
Your doctor should, but when it came to the statins, we were completely blindsided by it. Mm. Everyone really felt that statins were good, and they are good in the sense that they lower cholesterol. However, there's cholesterol in your brain, and the presumption is that for some people, they're causing a brain syndrome that for these people was devastating. Doctors were just unaware of it, and what I take from this is not to say that statins are bad, but to recognize that probably 90% of people who are being prescribed statins do not need them, which is to say, if I could wave a magic wand and have all those people throw the meat and the dairy products off their plates, and there's no more cholesterol and animal fat in their diet, their cholesterol levels will lower to the point where statins are really not an issue. Now, that's not true for everybody. There are some folks who will maintain a high cholesterol no matter what they do. For those people, a statin is a pretty good thing to talk about. But for a lot of folks, we're prescribing the drug instead of peeling away the hot dogs and burgers, and that's where we should be starting.
You know, your book includes some tasty recipes like peach salsa and pita chips and gnocchi with basil and sun-dried tomatoes. Have you tried all of these? And how do you figure what recipes are going to help people through this process of changing their diet?
Oh, great question. Well, we wanted to build in certain things. First of all, we wanted to have recipes that were free of trans fats and free as possible of saturated fats. Then we also wanted to emphasize certain things. Yams, for example, sweet potatoes, which are big in Okinawa, which has the longest-lived people with the most mental clarity in old age. Sweet potatoes happen to be their dietary staple. So we wanted to build them in, build in berries, build in vitamin E-rich nuts and seeds. So I worked with two chefs, one Christine Waltermeyer from New Jersey, the other Jason Weirich from the Southwest in Arizona. They have different tastes. Jason is more the spice kind of guy. So we had a collection from both of them. So my hope was to seduce everybody with good foods if we can do it. Because, you know, healthy eating should also be good for your taste buds, not just good for your brain and your heart.
But some of it, you know, I've talked just in the recent weeks about, for instance, sugar addiction and that sort of thing. That's a serious thing to overcome.
Well, it sure is. And the problem with sugar addiction is not just the sugar, but the fact that the sugar is in a cookie, which is half butter as well. So
yeah.
you get the double whammy. It really is true. In fact, a few years ago, I wrote another book called Breaking the Food Seduction, where we try to look at why is it that sugar or chocolate or cheese, they kind of have power almost like an addicting drug for some people.
Well,
we try to understand it.
They affect the brain that way.
They do affect the brain. That's right. They're exactly right. They trigger the release of opiates and dopamine, and it makes you go back and have another cookie.
It's a conspiracy.
But we have power that we didn't used to have.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Neil Barnard, for joining us. It's always a lot of fun to talk with you, always informative. There's always something new to talk about. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And thanks again to Dr. Neil Barnard for joining us today. And now with more information on how you can support our station, here's All Sides producer Michael DeBonis and news director Mike Thompson.
Thank you very much, Ann. Terrific hour with Dr. Neil Barnard. Great information about improving your mind health, improving your mental capacity, helping your memory. And it's just one of the things that we are doing during our spring membership drive to encourage you to give us a call. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. Please take those 2 minutes now and support us. And joining us this hour is Michael DeBonis. He's the producer for All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike, and thank you to everybody who has contributed so far today. As a nonprofit public service radio station, we rely on listeners like you for most of our support. So take a moment right now, 1-866-897-9678. It's so easy to call. Our volunteers are just waiting for you. Give a call, 1-866-897-9678. Or if you can't make a phone call, head on to your computer and go to WOSU.org.
Support WOSU Public Media and All Sides of Ann Fisher right now. And as our thank you gift for this hour, this is your last chance to get Power Foods for the Brain by Dr. Neil Barnard. He was Ann's guest today. You learned a lot of great information from Dr. Barnard this hour, and you can get that and more in this great book. Make a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer, and we'll send you a copy of Power Foods for the Brain. If you learned something over the past hour, well, this book will help you even more. It'll remind you of all the great things you learned this hour. It'll be right at your fingertips. He lays out 3 simple steps to protect the mind and strengthen the memory. This thank you gift is a great way to invest in the quality programming you hear on 89.7 NPR News. If you appreciate programs about health and wellness on All Sides, then this is a great time to make a pledge. The book is $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org and make a pledge, or make a pledge using the WOSU Public Media mobile app, or the old-fashioned way, call 1-866-897-9678 and make that pledge right now.
89.7 NPR News is dedicated to bringing you in-depth local news. We have our award-winning news team, and we have this two-hour local call-in show, All Sides with Ann Fisher. And this programming is only possible with listener support. You hear in-depth features on issues that impact your life in Central Ohio from our news department, and then you hear conversations on all sides about those very same topics where you get to contribute to the conversation in this community. All Sides brings you interviews with important policymakers in Ohio. All Sides connects you with newsmakers across the country and in your own backyard. Support that programming that keeps you connected. Visit WOSU.org, donate using the WOSU Public Media mobile app, or call the phone number 1-866-897-9678.
Support All Sides with Ann Fisher right now and get a great thank you gift that we are offering this hour. Only just a couple of minutes left to take advantage of it. Make a pledge of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get Dr. Barnard's book, Power Foods for the Brain. Do multivitamins increase Alzheimer's disease risk? Can sweet potatoes improve mental clarity? Power Foods for the Brain is a book by this nutrition researcher and New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Neil Barnard. He reveals how simple diet changes can shield the brain from memory loss, stroke, and Alzheimer's. This book is our thank you gift for this hour. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org. This is your last chance to get Power Foods for the Brain. $10 a month as a sustainer, a one-time gift of $120. Pick up that phone right now. Call 1-866-897-9678. Show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher that you enjoy every day here on 89.7. Go to our website, WOSU.org, because we are listener-supported, WOSU FM and HD1 Columbus. We're online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News is your all-day NPR news station. Thank you for your support.